Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about prayer and the circles and what that all means. There was some pastor who recently started talking about prayer circles, and he had walked around a piece of property in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago and praying the whole time so that their church would become a success, because they were spending about $1,600 a month renting a school auditorium to have their meetings in, and they were only receiving about $2,000 a month in donations from a handful of people, and their church was not very successful. So he said this prayer and walked all the way around the church. And I don't really know the individual, and this is what's so interesting about the kingdom, is that people can have a lot of ideas that are correct, and they can have a lot of ideas that are incorrect, and they can be laying down what we would call kingdom tracks, and they look like they are a part of Christ Church, but they may not actually be a part of that church. They may actually be workers of iniquity. And how will you know the difference? Because workers of iniquity can look like really nice guys. And I don't know anything about him, and I don't want to get into personalities or anything, but I can tell you this, there were a lot of scribes and Pharisees that seemed to be really nice guys. They got chosen, elected, looked up to, put on pedestals, what have you, and they were actually workers of iniquity. And Christ warns about that. So how do you know if you want to be in a prayer circle with an individual? I remember years ago, there was a pastor who was in trouble, you know, being harassed because of misinformation that had been passed around and collected against him by watching somebody else. They actually had the wrong individual they were watching. They were watching somebody else and saying, well, he's not a pastor, he's not doing pastor things, and he's got a gun and all this kind of stuff. And it was actually looking at a rancher who, you know, he had a gun when he got in the pen with bulls, and he had a gun when he went out and checked his sheep to watch for coyotes. He was a perfectly upstanding citizen, but he wasn't a pastor. And the person doing the investigating had the wrong person. They didn't go to the right address. They, for years, they reported on this pastor, and they had the wrong guy. The pastor lived around the corner. They weren't even watching the pastor. All their reports were based on, they were even told at one time, no, this isn't the pastor. This is somebody else. And he writes in his notes, obviously lying. So all the information about the pastor that this guy had been reporting for 6 years was on the wrong individual. And he got away with it. And he absolutely got away with it because he buried all the information. I mean, some of it we have, but terrible things happened because of that. And when somebody was going around asking local churches to help him out because of this, it hadn't come to light yet that this entire investigation of the pastor was based on the wrong person and misidentifying who the pastor was. And so, yeah, that guy wasn't a pastor. Yeah, that guy wasn't running a church, because that guy wasn't the guy you were supposed to be watching. And anyways, when they went around to the different churches, they didn't want to get involved. But they said they would pray for him. And one individual spoke up and says, we would rather you didn't pray for him, because we're not sure what God you're praying to. And that kind of, you know, struck me. It was a very bold individual who said that. But you don't really want to be praying with people that are praying to, you know, I mean, do you want to sit down and pray with the Pharisees who crucified Christ? You might pray for them, but you don't want to pray with them. And in the last show, we talked about, you know, where it talks about praying in your closet, and we think of that as a hideaway, except for the word there that they talk about, closet, is actually the word for a storehouse. It's where you keep all your stuff, and see, that's where you're praying, and where are you keeping your stuff? You're investing in the kingdom of God, and that's where you keep your stuff. Now, how do you invest in the kingdom of God? Well, you do good things. You do righteousness. But that's still not enough, because we know that there were a lot of people doing good things in the name of Jesus, and he said, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. So how do you know who you should be praying with? And in what manner should you pray? Well, of course, the word prayer is the word apply. And then the prayer that Jesus says, and you know, in like manner pray. He's talking about praying for your daily bread. That'd be the needs you have. How do you get and fulfill the needs you have? Well, obviously you can go out and work. God gave you the sweat of your brow and you can go out and work. But what if you had needs that you could not obtain except by applying for them? Where do you apply? Well, you apply to God. You could apply to the gods many of the world, but that would not be a good thing. And so in this little part of this series that we're doing on Resist Not Evil, there may be evil in your prayer circle and evil intent, and you really don't want to be joining hands with them and praying. And if you were really filled with the Holy Spirit, you would know this person I'm joining hands with is not necessarily a good guy. And this is why we see so many instances of where priests and pastors have done terrible, wicked things, and nobody knew. Why? Because they had already put them up on a pedestal and they could not see or sense the evil that was in his heart. He looked good. He appeared as an angel of light, but he was really working for demonic forces, and you didn't detect that. Why not? Because you're not really awake yet. You're not really seeing the real Christ. So it's written in the Bible, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So the light exposes the truth. It makes us aware of what is going on. And there's a lot of evil put forward behind, you know, the curtain, so to speak. Behind, you know, don't look behind the curtain. The reality is there's a lot of things that are going on in pastors that you cannot tell just by looking at them, because they seem like nice guys. You need to have the light of the truth guiding you. And a lot of people are sucked into these churches that are not doing what Christ said, because they themselves do not want to do what Christ said. And sometimes because they're just easily deceived and because there is a great delusion. So how do we overcome that delusion so that we can see the truth, so that we're not a part of the evil that is done in darkness? Well, we have to bring the light. How do you bring the light? How do you kindle the light in yourself? You start doing the will of the Father. Oh, we're talking works here, the people immediately jump in and say. No, we're talking returning. The prodigal son had to start going back to his father's house with the intention to serve. Very simple idea. You can't just think a thought like, I think it would be good back at my father's house. You actually have to start going, moving in that direction. It's not about building up a lot of credit because I did all these good things, because he hadn't done them yet. He was just on his way back and his father ran out to meet him. Now, I have to believe that he sincerely was on his way back to serve. And so the next day, after the feast, he got up and started serving his father and doing what his father desired. And his father knew he was going to do this, and that's why this father ran out to meet him. In Matthew 15:11, it says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And remember, we were just talking about this. Things whispered in the darkness and in the ear in the closet. It's what's coming out of you. Well, it's the same for those who come in the presence of evil men who look like good men. Their light, the light you bring with you, should shine and expose the truth about that evil one. But it's amazing that there is so much darkness in the churches today that most of the people in there, I mean, where, if you were a pedophile and you wanted power over children, where are you going to go and get a job? In school. Or maybe even in children's services. And I can give you examples where this has actually happened. Because they wanted power over children. Because they had this obsession as a pedophile. And we should talk about obsessions. And we will. We'll eventually get onto that in this Resist Not Evil. Because, you know, people like Jeffrey Dahmer and, you know, eating people and killing people and John Wayne Casey and all these different people hate what they're doing, but they keep going back and doing it. They can't stop themselves. Some of the mass murderers or serial killers, they wanted to be executed because they couldn't stop what they were doing. And we can see that what they were doing was really bad, and so therefore we can say this is unbelievable how powerful this obsession was over them. But everybody has obsessions. Little obsessions, watching a TV program or eating certain foods or eating too much foods. These are obsessions. You resist it. You try to stop doing it, but you keep going back to it and you can't figure out. Alcoholism, smoking, these addictions, you know, that we have that draw us back in and we just cannot seem to let go. Whether it's drugs or, you know, smoking marijuana or, you know, overeating or cursing or whatever it is. It's an obsession. You're addicted to it and you can't seem to stop. You know, people who think they're gay, they're obsessed with that. And it starts way back when they're younger and they get to feeling guilty about something and then their imagination feeds this idea that they're gay and then they keep going back to it. What is fueling that return to that lifestyle? They can't stop. They're not made that way in heaven. You know, they're not made that way in the womb. They're made that way by their own power to create and the power of others to create in them those desires. And they're given over to that according to what the Bible says. Yeah, they can't stop. They can't stop. But they can overcome with the power of God. How do they obtain that power of God? How do they turn on the light to see the process and break the circle, the cycle of their return to the addiction? How can they be set free from this spiraling social activity, whether it's smoking or eating or porn or whatever? How does this have a grip on them and keep returning them to that? It's because they resist. They fight against it with the same power that it comes from. This is why we talked before about confronting authorities and police, and I can even give you stories about in the courts themselves with judges who love to exercise authority. They're just drunk with the power. Or it could be with school teachers. If you resist them with that energy by which they operate, they want to dominate. You don't want to be dominated, so you resist with the same power that they want to obtain dominion over you, and you don't want them to obtain dominion over you, and so you're going to resist them with that same energy. And now you've entered into their whirlwind, into their circle, and they'll pull you in. You know, and if there's a bunch of cops, they'll probably dominate you, like Rodney King. Got dominated. But he was playing on their level, in their realm, in their way. And he entered into their circle. Their prayer was for power. And even though you didn't want to have power over others or anything, you wanted to resist their power with your power. You didn't let God do the battle. You were going to do it. They say, oh yeah, and you say, oh yeah. They say, do this, and you say no. Because you say no. and you pitted yourselves against, you pushed against them, you resisted against them with the same energy and power that they were using. And it draws you in to their vortex, into their circle, and you lose power. And this is what people do with guilt. They lay guilt on you and you resist that feeling. And it's just an emotional way of getting power over you. This can telegraph, and this concept repeats itself in the physical world, in the emotional world, and in the spiritual world. And see, if you change spiritually, everything else will line up. If you just change physically, you may manipulate the situation for a while, but eventually the physical gives out. You have to change spiritually. So how do you draw near the character of God so that God will fight your battles? God will be your army. And he will defeat the spirits that give those men power, and they will have no power in your presence because you've turned on the light. And we go back to the analogy of the cockroach. They obtain, many of the people who obtain power over others do so because evil is working through them. If you chain the evil that is working through them, you chain their source of power. You cut off their source of power, and they have no power over you. This is why Jesus could say, you would have no power except that it was given you, so that a chain of events would take place. So that the Pharisees would say, we have no king but Caesar, and anyone who gets the baptism of Christ is cast out. Christ was arranging to set everybody free. And he was also showing us how to do it. Resist not evil. See, there's only one prayer. You know, people want to pray for this, and they want to pray for success of their church, they want to pray for the success of their family, and they want to pray for this and that and the other thing, and those are manifestations, but there is one prayer, thy will be done. If you make up, say, my will be done, God, give me my will, God, give me my way, God, give me what I want, God might just do that, but it will seem as punishment when you're done, because it will not work out the way you want it to work out, if your prayer is selfish. So if you get into a circle with others to pray and they're all praying selfishly and you're actually praying thy will be done, and you won't even know it because they'll use the same words, your prayer is diluted. You know, we've talked before about healing, how you can get people in a group. And I gave an example, and they would get in a circle too, like a prayer circle, and they would want to heal some particular ailment amongst them, and they would all pray about it. Think about healing to that individual, and that individual would often be healed. And people say miracle, power of healing, all this kind of stuff, but where were they getting the energy to do this? We asked in the previous show at the beginning, can the devil answer your prayers? Yes. And he wants to get you in a prayer circle with other people so that you, because it's not your will to have God's will done, it's your will to have God's will be your will. You may say it lots of different ways, but what's really the truth? And you get together with a bunch of other people, and you're literally robbing energy from them to get your way. You're playing Cain in the spiritual realm. And eventually, you know, in this way you see pastors, you're trying to control every aspect of the individual's life. But they want to do it as pastors. If they want to go one step up, they can become bureaucrats in systems that exercise authority one over the other, and they will control your life. And I can show you thousands of examples where bureaucrats play with the lives of people because they want power. And if they sense in you a resistance to their power, and I've given the story before of a fellow who lost his leg when he was 18 years old in a mining accident and was literally crushed and had to be amputated, and he was trying to make it on his own, but he was having bone spurs and couldn't get work, and it was depressed economy, and he was really trying hard, and finally had to go down and ask for government aid, you know, like food stamps or something. And he's got enough gas together to drive down to apply, and on the way there he came across an accident where a guy was writhing in pain on the side of the road with broken bones, and he stopped to help. He was the only one there, and they had help coming, and he stayed until an ambulance came and helped him load up, and then he went on to his appointment. Was a few minutes late for his appointment. Nobody else in the office, and the individual who was in charge of hearing his claim wouldn't talk to him because he was late for his appointment. There was nobody else there. It was not busy. It was only a few minutes late, and he tried to explain that, well, there was an accident and I had to help the guy. I couldn't leave the guy. And I don't care. That's not my problem. You were supposed to be here at such and such time. You weren't, and so you'll have to come back tomorrow. Nobody there. There's no big line or anything. He's going to have to drive 150 miles round trip again on another day because this guy won't talk to him that day. Well, this rugged individual told him what he thought of him and his benefits and went back home and never ever applied for him. He went and tried to figure out another way. And eventually he did get some other work and made it through the year and made it through the winter and then got more work and gone on to do all kinds of things and got married and had kids and didn't go back to that welfare office ever again. They sensed in him the character of an individual, and they hated it, and they spewed out anger towards him, and he left. Somebody else could come in there, a lazy, no good for nothing bum, and they wait on him hand and foot. Because there's a spirit in that individual that beckons to them. They like that. It gives them a sense. And we'll explain how this all works in the physical realm too. Chemically. How you're driven by your compulsions, by serotonin releases and other adrenalines and hormones in your body operating when you go through these processes. But they're all simply, the physical body is simply a reflection of that spiritual realm in which all things are created. And so the spirit of Christ is different than what these spirits I've just been talking about. If Christ is your public servant, he actually loves you as an individual. He doesn't love having power over you. He actually loves you as an individual. And he comes to serve. He doesn't come to dominate. He doesn't come to, you know, put anybody up on a pedestal or get up on a pedestal himself. So if you actually are coming in the name of Christ, you're coming in the spirit of Christ. And you do not need to resist evil. Evil will run from you like a cockroach from light. If the light begins to turn on an individual, we never tell people not to go to a certain church or stop going to the church they're going to when they become a part of His Holy Church and they start that quest for righteousness. We never tell people to leave their church. They may be the only righteous person in their church, the only one able to bring light into their church. And so we say, go. But as that light goes on in them and they begin to see more and more things and begin to wake up more and more to the ways of Christ, we often see that church wants to get rid of them. The church doesn't want them coming into the church anymore. They're bringing in light. And it is up to us to let everybody kindle that light of righteousness by coming together and serving. You know, in Matthew 5:11, it says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but what comes out. But we also saw, I think it was in Galatians, where it talks about this present evil world. And people think that this is not my home because my home is in heaven, not this present evil world, this planet, etc. Except for the word world there is the word age. And we all live in an evil age, but when we are given dominion in this planet, and we are to take that dominion, but we are to take it like Christ by turning on the light of Christ and walking with the Lord in His ways and not resisting evil like Cain does. like Nimrod. And certainly not in the manner in which they do it. And it's going to take some serious, painful soul searching to find out what that is. It says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. How does he do that? He gets you to act like he is. He gets you to operate from the same energy of personal power that he operates on. That is where you do not want to go. That is where you do not want to be a part of. So we're going to continue this discussion, and this will eventually air again in another shows and on some of the other stations that we appear on. And we're going to talk about this hypocrisy of ours where we think we're coming in the name of Christ and we are actually coming in the character of Satan. We are not coming with love to serve. That's a different kind of spirit. We'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom after this.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about this circles and circles of prayer. And you can read in Isaiah 40:21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? And it goes on to say, it is he that sitteth upon the circles of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is where we're supposed to be. This is where we were put, to hold his dominion according to his way. Not according to our way, not according to Cain's way, according to his way. And his way is not one that exercises authority one over the other, but gives free choice. Free choice within a realm of truth and reality and law and judgment and mercy and faith. And it is up to us to implement the energy that is given us in that way. So when you read in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world, evil age, that's what the word means there, evil time, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever, amen. Not us. We do not win the battle. The battle we fight is within us. To defeat the darkness of the world, we must drive out the darkness in our own hearts with the light of righteousness. That's why we seek righteousness, not to win some sort of tally sheet of righteousness, but to seek his truth in all things, in all ways. So we become a part of his prayer circle, as we see in 22, where he talks about sitteth upon the circle of the earth. We want to sit with the Lord, walk with the Lord, act accordingly with the Lord. And his character was one that comes to serve, not to be served. So this idea that we see mentioned in the Circle Maker, Mark Batterson is the fellow who promoted that, must be tempered with the understanding that it is not enough to look like a church, to say nice things, but we must live according to the righteousness of Christ, according to his instructions. Now, we may not do it perfectly, but that is where we strive, endeavor, struggle, persevere. Mark says at one point, each prayer is like a seed that gets planted in the ground. It disappears for a season, but it eventually bears fruit that blesses future generations. What's he talking about? Future generations. Seeds. Blesses the fruit of future generations. In fact, he says our prayers bear fruit forever. But what kind of fruit? Because Jesus talks about someone who sows seeds, weed seeds, in our field when we're not looking, in the darkness. And we don't even see it. And one of those seeds that has been sown in the field of the church is that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through the agency of governments, which is simply men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. It is not okay. Jesus says it was not to be that way with us. So your church is walking around and doing its prayer circles, but it's saying to you that it's okay to be unrighteous. It's okay not to be doers of the word. It's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government and government schemes. It's not okay. And I will tell you that it's not okay. And we should not be that way in any way, shape, or form. We should repent and become doers of the word, not hearers only. And unfortunately, we are not always doers of the word. If you read in Matthew 6:1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, in that he's talking about doing them in a prideful way. Not that it has to be totally secret, in some sort of secret closet. You see, what we do, we take care of the needy of our society, but we do it before men, and we do it not out of free will choice, but out of joining these social schemes that make the Word of God to none effect, because they're not based on love and charity. They're based on force and control. For whoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, he says in Matthew 12:50. So we see this pattern where Jesus is calling upon people to do the will of his Father, to actually do something. What's he talking about? Doesn't he know that all we have to do is think a thought? No, that's not what he said. He said that we were to do this according to the righteousness of God, and to seek that righteousness in all that we do. And we are not. We are not seeking his righteousness in all that we do. So anyway, back to Isaiah 40:21. Have you not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? Well, in the movie Jesus of Nazareth, John the Baptist is heard saying those same words. And John the Baptist was one whose voice was heard in the wilderness. He was one crying in the wilderness. And what was he crying? Make straight the way of the Lord. Today we need to make straight the way of the Lord. The modern church is impotent. The modern church is not doing what Christ said. It is telling the people there is nothing they have to do. They just believe in Jesus, but they have made an idol of Jesus or Yeshua, whatever you want to call him. And they have invented a Jesus who just ain't so. Jesus said that you had to be a doer of the word. But they say, no, you don't have to be a doer. They say, oh, well, he said that before the crucifixion. Now that he's been crucified, we're just automatically saved. We are just automatically saved? Why are you saved? Because you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the real Jesus, or have you made up a Jesus? Because the Jesus that I believe in said, thou shalt not covet. The Jesus I believe in said that you should be a doer of the word. That the prodigal son, because he repented, turned around and came back to do his father's will, his father came out to meet him. His father didn't run out to meet him just because he was his son. Jesus has other parables about two sons, one who did the will of the Father and one who said he would but didn't do it. Which one was the son? The one who did it. He's not going to do it perfect. He's still going to be saved by grace, but he's got to be a doer. So what is he supposed to be doing? Well, what has he told you from the beginning? John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. Moses said it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. What is religion? It is taking care of the needy of the world, unspotted by the world. Taking care of the needy, the widows and orphans amongst you, unspotted by the world. And the world there is the constitutional order and systems of government of men who force the contributions of the people and claim they are benefactors, but simply exercise authority, taking from your neighbor to provide you with benefit. Such a simple concept. And the modern church says that's okay. Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. But you want to believe the modern church is true. But it is not. It is a liar. When he said, have ye not known? Before that, or actually right after that, he gives us the phrase, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That is what's happened. We live on this earth to dwell in it, to be a part of that earth, to be the holders of that dominion, and we were to keep it. But we were seduced by a lie that said that we didn't have to do the will of the Father, that we could figure things out on our own, that through our own knowledge we could come to an understanding. If we do go back before that in Isaiah, he says, to whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and a goldsmith spreadeth it over his gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. And you think that's about statues. It's about things you construct with your own mind and hands. This image of Christ that is false. You need to repent of that and actually hear what Jesus said. God is the same. Jesus was the same. His message did not change after the crucifixion. His message was the same. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do not covet. Don't be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other and call themselves benefactors. But you are like that. You just go to church to have your ears tickled like a dog. You want to be made comfortable and petted. John the Baptist did not come to do that. He came to tell you to make straight the way of the Lord, and so do I. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? That's what he says. This has been the same from the beginning. Sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judge of the earth as a vanity. Is that where you're at? All is vanity today. All is pride. All is arrogance. They take pride in their religion and their churches that do contrary to the words of Christ. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their hosts by numbers. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. So are you one of those that are called out? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. You think you have no power because you are weak and the beast is great. You're not thinking like David, who faced Goliath. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth their strength. Even the youth shall faint that be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So what are you to do? Well, they start a new chapter here, but I think it's all part of the same thing. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. What does that mean, to come near? Now, we've talked about that. Come near, sacrifice, give up yourself, sacrifice your own pride, your own arrogance, sacrifice your own fears and your anger and your judgment. Go another way, a way that is cast up, the way of Christ. Start loving one another, sacrificing yourself daily for one another. Start being as Christ intended, and gather together with others like that. In The Circle Makers, written by Mark Batterson, he says each prayer is like a seed that gets planted in the ground. It disappears for a season, but it eventually bears fruit that blesses the future generations. So what is that all about? And why is that important here today? Because God is not the only one who sows seeds. And how do you know a good seed from a bad seed? How do you know a tare from a stalk of wheat? They're similar. And they grow together in the same place. Now, I don't want you to go on a witch hunt looking for them. But remember Matthew 13:25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So that the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, gather up these tares, tear them out? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Now this is where we're at today. You gather in churches, you gather to pray, but some are tares. They are not the good seed. They are workers of iniquity. And one of the ways to tell as we approach the harvest is, will they insist upon coveting their neighbor's goods? Will they insist upon cursing their own children? Will they insist upon disobeying the words of Christ and say, but they believe that they do great things in his name? They heal the sick. How do they heal the sick? I tell you, you need to draw near, and we're going to show you how this works and manifests itself in the physical world so that you will have insight into the spiritual world, because I cannot show you the spiritual world. Many of you have lost your spiritual eyes. You can no longer see accordingly. The Bible tells us to let both grow together until the harvest. There's an actual reason why, that the tares actually work as a cover crop. A competition. It makes the wheat grow taller. They compete. There was a fellow who grew wheat, actually rye, out on the desert. And he didn't grow it, the first seed he needed to go get. And he went to the old homesteads that were out in a valley north of here. And he went with a buckboard. And he went out there and he cut the rye, the wild rye that had come up since the homesteaders had left, all gone bankrupt. And left because of drought. But some of the rye remained and had reproduced itself over and over again. And he cut that rye and he gathered it and he threshed it by hand. And he put it into sacks and loaded them in the buckboard. And he came back with that rye. And he planted it in a field that had been overplanted, overused, had been beat bare by the sun. Somebody had planted potatoes there year after year and had left the ground through the summer and winter months where it was just beat by the sun and the dry winds. And now he plowed it up and planted this rye that had come from the homesteads. It was taller than him. He'd never seen a crop like that. Why? Because these are the seeds that survived during the hard times of the desert. And now when they were given good times, they flourished. So it will be with you. We have gone through a very dry spell in this world. We have dry bones that need to gather together and flesh that need to support them. We do not need more people who just want to be free. We need people who want others to be free and are willing to sacrifice themselves that all may have the choice of liberty under God, which is the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God. And this is where we go. This is the land we seek, and we seek it together with the tares who are living amongst us. And how you will know the difference is you must grow in the ways of the Lord. Make straight the ways of the Lord. There was another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, tiny little seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And this is what we must be like, with a little bit of faith and perseverance, seeking to come together, to become the benefactors who do not exercise authority. Become the servants of the Lord, setting the table of the Lord, to help those that seek His ways, to help those who repent, to slam the door in foolish virgins who simply want to be separate on their own but do not want to serve others as the early church served in such an organized and dedicated and disciplined fashion that during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, they themselves thrived as a people. So also must you thrive if you follow the ways of Christ, the true Christ, the Christ that came to set us free through sacrifice. We will not make His sacrifice, but we must make our sacrifice, not to save ourselves, but to save others, as Christ also came. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.